Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of You Deserve Fresh Lettuce. I am your co-host, Rachel.
And I'm Diane.
And this episode, we're going to be talking about inviting God into your marriage. If you're not doing so already, please follow us across our social media platforms at YDFL Podcast. You can also listen to us on your favorite podcast platform, including Alexa. And you can watch all the shenanigans in our new office on YouTube.
On YouTube.
All right, let's get into it. So this is inviting God into your marriage. Here's the thing. First and foremost, first episode, season one, we talk about this prayer, right?
Oh my gosh, yes.
That like opened my eyes and my heart and also my marriage into like the next stage of divorce and stuff like that. Dahlia talked about it as well. But one of the things that we came to realize along this journey of creating the You Deserve Fresh Lettuce podcast for you guys is we sat there going, did you or I ever truly invite God into each of our marriages to help it? And we realized
No. Neither
one of us
did. I mean,
ever did.
I know that not that I want to give up what type of religion I am, not that that really matters. I am Catholic. And I remember that I got married in a Catholic church. And I remember we would go to church if there was a baptism, someone's doing the First Communion. Every once in a while, we would find ourselves in church. I am a woman of faith, so I would pray. I would pray Our Father, like, because I don't really know. I didn't really do a Bible study. I didn't really do any of those things, which I know people do.
Yeah.
I know that most marriages, once they've entered a serious crisis, they will seek God to help them and guide them through marriages.
Yes.
I think that what I feel that you and I had that epiphany and that aha moment definitely was that you and I literally went down the list of things that were right and wrong, and then the things that where we know we failed in a way in the marriage, because we not once ever sat there and said we did this to try to better the marriage, where they have like the weekend getaways, like those retreats. I know for sure I never did them, and I don't think that I would have ever really thought to do them. Would you have?
I know that I have. You know, Spanish speaking aunts and uncles that have done retiros, and so those are the retreats. You know, for the married couples, and
one.
I never did them, but I had heard of them.
You knew that they were good.
Yeah, but that wasn't even something that was like
probably not something that he was going to be receptive of for.
Yeah,
but I do think it's very important that you do invite God into your marriage.
For sure.
If that is, you know, the language that you speak, and if you don't speak it, you should really consider, you know, if things aren't going the right way and you're in the rocks, it doesn't matter what religion you are. I think it's important to do that. I talk about this book that I never read, and I gave away The Power of a Praying Wife. And I got to tell you that I had someone give it to me, and she swore to this book. She had the markings of the page, and she's like, I need you to go ahead and keep the book.
Yeah.
And I looked at the book and I was like, cool. And I like kind of opened it and I said, oh, I got to pray all of this to this. And I was like, yeah, I don't know that I'm going to be, you know, like, I mean, my intention was there. Like I wanted to read the book. I didn't. If you are in a position that you think that you could salvage your marriage, it helped her, and she says that there's a lot of people that speak about this book, The Power of a Praying Wife.
So there is this whole thing. Like now, hindsight's 20/20, right?
Yes.
And you exit the marriage, and like from my personal journey, I got closer to God after my divorce.
Me too.
Yeah, we have that in common. And I can tell you when I look inside, when I go back and I put myself inside of it, like when I was in there, it just wasn't a thing. I remember my mother-in-law showing up and bringing us a Bible and like these books from like Benny Hinn. He's an evangelist out of Orange County, California here. And I remember saying, he's not into that. Like, we're not into that. Like, it's not, like, it's not. And, you know, it's just it wasn't how we operated. And so it wasn't top of mind. Like, I never thought, please God, save my marriage. Please God. So the reason we wanted to do this episode was to say, learn from our mistakes, because we're not here to say, hey, if you pray, he's not going to cheat on you. And if you pray, he's going to stop beating you. We're not saying that necessarily.
No.
But if it's God's will for your marriage to be healed and turned around, he can and will do the work in you and the work in him that is necessary
to
get it done. And also to be able to turn to your spouse and hold hands and like either begin the day in prayer or end the day in prayer. We can tell you firsthand as friends and as business partners and co-hosts for the show, we pray before we even begin to record
here,
and we hold hands and pray. I've prayed in her home and stuff like that. And so there is a power to it.
Oh, there is.
That
yeah.
I didn't personally use in my marriage.
No, but I think the power in it, in my opinion, is that we understand that you could pop this on and you may pop it, like just turn it off, but maybe there is something that you needed to hear today, right? And so, but before we actually go on, I know that it's always the words that we use are to hopefully better help, empower, grow, like teach people, okay, maybe if all these things aren't working, but God, give us the opportunity yeah. to share the word and to give someone light for the day, even if it's just one person
yes.
that receives our message, because we're doing it with good intention in our yeah. opinion, and we pray for God to give us discernment and give us the correct word. Some of the things that we say are
really, talk about some way out stuff, and we know that.
Some things are very left field, and we understand that, but I do understand, too, that there's a power behind the prayer and trying to keep inviting God into your marriage.
Yes.
And then there's also the prayer of you knowing something's off, and not that we're trying to get you to start praying and like lean into
to
God.
To be an investigator. We're not saying go to him as Inspector Gadget looking for the clues.
But I'll tell you, he will show you the clues.
Oh, yeah.
And you can hire a really top-notch freaking PI, and he's probably going to get you all the details. But let me tell you, if you ask him, he will give it. He will deliver
yes.
it to you. If
yes.
that's truly what your ulterior motive
yes.
is, because you know that he's up to no good and you want it to be revealed to you, he will reveal it to you.
Yes.
And I say this too also, we say time and time and time and time and time again. It's like almost redundant. But also, like, the devil hears it.
Yep.
God hears it, devil hears it. And guess what? We don't yeah. know who's working in what direction. But I do feel that, in my opinion, certain prayers, like for me, when I sat there and I prayed after all this blew up, I mean, I don't know if the devil just like threw the other phone
yeah.
at my foot, but I think it has, I mean, obviously yeah. I prayed for something, it was revealed, it was shown, I had to make my next step, make my next choice. I know now in dating, for me, that's kind of important if they have God in their life.
Yeah.
Because obviously I'm not going to sit there and be a Bible thumper on someone if that's not their faith.
Right. Right.
And I'm not trying necessarily to tell someone this is how you got to operate.
You know, I think that when you're in your marriage and right now with the married, those of you that are married,
yeah,
you have to understand we've given you two full seasons here almost of literally, you know, like get your body right, get your hair, do your hair, you know, make the cookies, give him the sexy time, be the calm and the peace in the house that he needs. Like we say all of these things, but at the end of the day, we both cannot deny that you can do all those things and it can still fall apart if you don't invite God in. And so we are semi-proof of that. And so at the end of the day, the big moral sort of thing here is, have you really done everything for your marriage? Because when I stepped away, see, I really believed, I kind of left on my head held high because I had the peace of mind that I did everything in my power
to
make it work. I
yeah.
did everything in my power to be a good woman, a good wife, a good mother, whatever it might be, homemaker, whatever it might be, income earner, whatever. At the end of the day, though, I cannot look in the mirror, look at you and say, oh, and I prayed for my marriage and
mm-hmm.
I prayed for my kids.
Yeah.
But I didn't sit there going, God, you know, heal us. God, fix this. God, I didn't. I just was like looking at the exit kind of. I was more like, you know, when you get on an airplane and then they're like, okay, so pay attention to the exits to the That's how I was operating in my marriage. I was like, okay,
What's the exit strategy?
Yeah.
How are we jumping off this mother effer?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I know that I had a really close friend of mine when I was married back in the day, and her husband actually would host a Bible study, and he was kind of like that was a big deal for them. And she, I remember, and I'll never forget that she said that she felt that her husband wouldn't cheat on her because he loved her so much, or because of the family, or because of the kids, or because of the things that they built. She felt that he had such, like, he was part of this Bible study, that he understood the importance of keeping it right with God that he knew he couldn't disappoint him. So that's how his faith was. And she said, I know I have a good man. Granted, I understand that you guys probably can come at us with, like, the things
Christian
that...
Christian Menchie, too, and all this kind of stuff.
Yes, and, like, the things that the priests have done, and I'm not going to get down that rabbit hole. But my point to that is that she literally had this conversation with me telling me, I understand that he has such strong faith, he's a man of God, that I feel that because of that, he wouldn't cheat on me. And he wouldn't do wrong to our family.
Did he?
Because he didn't. Okay. According to whatever I had seen. And he seemed like a great man. But then again, you know.
You never
and
know.
And then it's like, you know, you get the story where you're like, I saw that coming, Jim. But, you know, I mean, for what
so
it was, it seemed
I,
like he was a good guy.
So I had a guy on my team for my business. And he was a wonderful man. And he was a Christian man. And he was married. And he had two kids, a boy and a girl. And I would see beautiful women around this guy because of the industry that we're in. I'd see so many different opportunities with the late hours that we would keep sometimes. And he was pretty solid. And he was a handsome guy. And I remember I went up to him and we had a good relationship. And I said, I just have to know. It was like a 9 o'clock deadline, 9 p.m. We're on deadline. I just was like, I saw a woman try it with him. And the way he handled it was great. And I said, I just have to know. And he said, you know, it's not that my wife is so great, because the wife was kind of on edge all the time and all this kind of stuff. And it's not that things are easy with the kids, because he had one that was like suffered from depression and everything. It's not even, he said, I can't take the credit. His thing is like the kids are leaning on the mom and the mom is leaning on him. Who is he going to lean on? So he leans on God. Mm-hmm. And so if you're with a man that has no higher power to lean on, ladies and gentlemen, he's going to lean on the woman that's going to stroke his ego or something else.
Oh, we always talk about that too.
You know what I mean?
It's like the one that says, wow, you look good, you smell good,
oh my
you do
God,
this good,
you're
da,
so
da,
funny.
Da da da.
Oh my God, your wife
he's
is so lucky.
He's all of a
lucky.
Sudden comedian, and he's like the best looking and the best thing since apple butter. And then you get home and you're like, you're freaking.
You're
ill.
Like,
you're
oh my God,
really
you,
getting here?
Why are you, yeah, why are
yeah.
you so late?
And, da, da, da. You know, and at the end of the day, he's like, I don't want to come home to that like freaking evil beast.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so I think at the end of the day, you know, it's so important that both of you guys are aligned. And it's so weird because with that, you understand when there isn't peace in the home, like you will gather your little troops and your spouse and you'll hold hands and say something's off here.
Yes.
We need to get back to the basics. Let's get into prayer. Let's light a quick little white candle. Let's really put some good intention into
yes.
this. And I think it's so important when you have that, because I think that a lot of the time, you know, we get so caught up in the day-to-day, like, oh, we got to go here, and the kids have a game, and we got to split, and we got to go here. And by the time you guys do dinner, you maybe do dinner on the road, and you forget what family unity is all about
yes.
and having God in your life in that unity.
We are in a battle. Listen, as married people, I'm not married right now, but when you're married, you're in a battle. There are women trying to get at your man. There are men trying to get at your woman if you're one of the guys watching. Some of these people are your own family. Some of the people are their closest friends. Some of the people are their coworkers that they spend way more hours
more
a day
time.
With.
Yeah.
There's a lot of trickery. There's alcohol that lowers our inhibitions. There's drugs. There's pornography that we talk about
mm-hmm.
that becomes like the third person in the room, or maybe the fifth. I don't know, whatever
I
your situation is.
But
you know what I mean? Like, we've talked
you.
About all these different things, and at the end of the day, like, there's so much coming at your marriage that is weakening the marriage. And
mm-hmm.
guess what? You can probably ward off some of this stuff sometimes,
yeah.
but eventually the years pass and you become less tolerant of your partner, less attracted to your partner, whatever that may be. There might be financial strife. There
yes.
might be a lot of different
yes.
things, health issues, so many things, different things that we talk about. And then in come these little things. And I always say, look, marriage is, you got to create it's like a hedge, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So if you had a property that you're trying to protect, you might put like a hedge of protection,
mm-hmm.
you know, bushes all around. And really it's about like who has each other's back. And I think that when
and
you're
in the hedges, you put some like electrical,
you know,
barbed
wire and like electrical
wires.
With
like,
remote control.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
You're like, you just try
zappers.
Me. Try me.
But you know, I think at the end of the day, if you're in your marriage and you notice, you can feel it, ladies. Like,
mm-hmm.
we can feel like something's off. And instead of sitting there having the, babe, we need to talk. Like, this is just, instead of that whole scary, defensive, insecure thing to say,
I think there's nothing worse than that, right? Getting a call. And I think that, like, us as women, we have like this tone where we're like, when you get home, we need to talk.
All the men
and
are
then,
like the talk.
And then I think, no,
yeah.
but I don't think that most of the guys, depending on who you're talking about, I don't think that they do the talk. I mean, I think they're like, the stomach goes,
yeah, they don't like, they just,
because it's
yeah.
like, when you get home, we need to talk. And
yeah.
it's like, about what? well, when you get here, you'll find out. And it's like, oh,
shit. And it's about the toilet seat being left up, and he's like, thank you, Jesus, because he's been over here dicking around with whoever.
He's like, thank God she didn't find freaking me hanging out with Miss Desiree over there.
But, you know, I think at the end of the day, you know, you have to really ask, understand that you are kind of in a battle and that your marriage and your family are worth protecting. And I am guilty of not viewing it like that. I am guilty of saying, if he don't care, why should I care? Or if this is how it's going to be, then this is how it's going to be. I remember saying, hey, if I see my husband's walking through a door, like opening a door over there, I'm going to walk right through that door behind him and see what's so interesting over here. And I didn't mean it a lot of times, but in my mind, in my marriage, I thought I would, if he's going to do it, I'm going to do it. But at the end of the day, then I realized I'm not even built that way. Like he's a guy, like I'm not even built that way to be doing that stuff or seeing that stuff through. Instead of turning to God, it's like, okay, I turn to, I got to go on a diet. I got to do more sit-ups. I turn to, I got to get smarter. I got to make more money. I got to be more friendly. You know, I got to be kinder to his family. Like, I turn to all these other things to make him happy. I need to, like, give him massages or whatever it might be. Instead of really, like, you could do all that, but I probably got to go to God.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely have to tell you that I don't remember how I operated in my mind as far as, like, what I was thinking, how I would have to do it. But I definitely can tell you that going to God was probably not it. I mean, there was moments where I remember we would say, well, you know, I think that things aren't right. Let's go to church. But it was so funny because I think that we didn't even really have a true understanding of why we were going. Because I remember that we would just go get the bread. And then, you know, the most important thing, at least for Catholic religion, and I'm not trying to put my stuff out there, but is when they do the final blessing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then when people just go get the bread and they leave, then I'm like, well, that's kind of like a pointless. Like you forgot the whole reason why you're there. Yeah. It's a final blessing. And it was kind of funny because we really would just go to say, we went to church. It was empty. It's like taking a bag with you that has nothing in it and then just carrying it around all day and expecting it to get full, but you're not seeking anything to put in there. And so we basically, I don't know if that even makes it, that's a good analogy, but I guess what I'm saying is that we would take this bag that was empty and come out with an empty bag because we didn't come in there thinking that this is the game plan, this is how we're going to operate, this is why we're doing it. It was just to say, well, we're trying to, but we didn't know how. And sometimes people don't know how to navigate around that. And sometimes you just have to, whatever church you go to, you just have to go to whatever church you guys both decide to go with, whether that's Christian or that's whatever it is your religion is, and try to understand that there's maybe a group that you guys can join to do like the weekend getaways and maybe try to reunite in
something
that regard.
That really supports the marriage, the marital foundation.
So you're not empty.
It's going to be helpful, even though you might meet some other couples that are really weird and you're like, oh my God, I don't know if I like this.
You're like, and I don't know, Susie, you don't have an issue just trying to look at Johnny Q.
Maybe you go to a different city, but I will say that, you know, when you're trying to fill your bucket with all these other worldly things in the name of satisfying your partner or yourself, or, you know, keeping up pretenses, at the end of the day, the enemy is drilling holes in that bucket. It's drilling holes because you are not capable of it. None of us are capable of holding it all together.
Yeah.
And we all should be turning to a higher power. And let me tell you something. If you end up divorced and you jump off this bridge and onto wherever we're at, like, we didn't get this far on our own because of our own way of thinking and our own. We had to pray through it. We had to pray all the way to here to a show that's in 28 countries and all this kind of advice that we gave you. Like, we prayed all the way over here.
And we stay praying. And we stay sane. And God still stays showing us why we need to stay this way.
Yes,
we are not crying foul. And I think that at the end of the day, no matter what you're doing, whether you're single, you're married, you're divorced, you're about to get married, understand that that's so important to build a foundation. I think that oftentimes we forget about the foundation. You know, we do things, we start to plan these massive events with people and what are we serving and 7 entrees and the courses and whatever. And then you forget the foundation. Like, that's cool for one day. But for a lifetime, what are you doing? So you have to remember, what are we doing in this lifetime? What are we going to do if we're going to spend the rest of our lives together? How are we going to show up? Is it just Sundays we're going to church? Are we going on Saturdays? Yeah. Are we just going for holidays? And don't be like me that carries around an empty bag because you have no purpose and you have no reason and you're just doing it to fulfill something that you don't know what you're fulfilling because you don't even know what you're doing.
Yeah.
So I think it's so important that even if you're single, you still have to have and be with in prayer and in faith, and God knows what he wants for you. And if that means that you are like us divorcees and he wants never for you to ever find someone,
that's just what it is.
Then that's just what it is.
And you got to trust
just
that plan,
that process,
and understand that you can make plans. We make plans and God laughs. And,
oh my gosh, for
you
sure.
know, but at the end of the day, if you're a single woman and you're wondering, well, I don't know if this message is really for me because I'm not really with anybody, you can pray for your future husband that you've never even met yet. And you can pray that he finds the steps and the courage and the faith to believe that you're out there, that you exist, and that you are worth it, and that it will be worth it. Because you have to understand, your future partner might have taken a pit stop with someone that he thought was going to be temporary, and then a kid came, and like, there's
and
all these things that we're doing in the world that are messing up plans for everybody. We're messing it all up for each other. You know, every time if you're a woman and you're hanging on to a guy that you know isn't worth it for you, you're blocking him from his destiny. You're blocking yourself potentially.
I think oftentimes, I think that's so important because oftentimes there's this famous saying, and I've used it before, gosh. he's not Mr. Right, he's Mr. Right Now.
Right Now. Yeah.
And a lot of the time, I'm sure that, you know, maybe the guys use the same freaking word. She's not Mrs. Now, she's Mrs.
Right
Now. I don't know.
Yeah,
guys don't really operate in that regard.
Yeah.
Guys are just kind of going with the flow.
Yeah.
But I do know that, like, I've heard it, I've said it, and it's like, I know he's not Mr. Right, he's just Mr. Right Now. And I think that, you know, if someone's on the outside looking in, you know, depending, I'm not saying me per se, but I'm just saying maybe you that's out there dating this guy that you know is not Mr. Right, maybe there's another person that's looking at you, and maybe he would like to take you out, but you're so busy with Mr. Wrong that you're not giving yourself that opportunity. So really think about that, not to mention, pray that God show you and lead you in the right path, in the right direction. And it doesn't matter what you're doing in this lifetime. We understand that this lifetime is a really, really short time.
Yes.
And you have a reason for being on earth. And so you just have to continue to ask God to give you discernment and to guide you and lead you, whether that's to stay in your marriage, to leave the marriage, to find a new partner, to find a partner to share this lifetime with.
Yes.
And just remember, like, God has a plan for you, and don't ever think that it's just never going to matter. Like, well, it doesn't matter if I pray. It doesn't matter if I don't do this. It doesn't matter. It matters.
It
all
adds up.
It all matters.
It all adds up. So I think that's all we have for you
today. So, but you know what? Just remember that at the end of the day, prayer, prayer, prayer.
Yes,
and
the
then
power
just ask,
of prayer.
Ask the higher power, which is God, and he's going
to
reveal it to you. So just
take
don't forget
God.
That you
deserve fresh lettuce.
Cheers.